A story was shared in which a gang of masked gunmen forced their way into a small country church before the usual morning service. The leader of this supposed terrorist group with obvious anti-Christian ties offered the frightened congregation a bone-chilling choice. Either proclaim their belief in Jesus Christ and line up single file against the wall to await their fate, or denounce their faith in Jesus Christ and flee with their lives. A mass exodus ensued from the church, and only a handful of the church's congregation remained. As a small but unified group of believers sullenly made their way to that fateful wall, and the last apostate made his way out of the church, the militant leader, along with his fellow armed assassins, dropped their weapons and pulled their masks off, revealing the identities of the senior pastor and the church's 8 deacons. Upon doing this, the pastor boldly announced, "I think everybody is here who really wants to worship God. Now let's get started." Aren't you glad I chose to tell this story and not act it out? All right, so the question is, what would you have done? Would you have stayed or would you have gone? I cannot remember ever hearing a story that compels more thought and serious soul searching than that particular one. This example sheds adequate amount of light on the seriousness of our service to our Savior, specifically our worship to Him and of Him. Pastor E. Langston Haygood once said that the greatest act of loving worship is still giving ourselves to Christ, end quote. The Illustrated Dictionary of the Bible claims that the word worship comes from the Old English word worship, a word which denotes the worthiness of the one receiving the special honor or devotion. Now, Jesus is obviously worthy of our worship. The question is, how do we give Him our worship? Are we keeping it real? Now, I know what you're thinking. You don't talk like that in the church. That would be street slang, and that doesn't fit in the church. Are we keeping it real? What does that mean? Keeping it real with regards to worship? Is our worship real? In essence, do we mean what we say, what we read, how we sing, how we greet, how we love, how we hug, how we sing, how we pray? Do we mean it? Do we mean it? A story is told in which a man went to a church with an angel as his guide. Every seat in the church was filled, but there was something strange about all of it. The organist moved his fingers over the keys, but no music came forth from the pipes. The choir rose to sing, and their lips moved, but not a sound was to be heard. The pastor stepped to the pulpit to read the scriptures, but not a sound was heard. The congregation joined in repeating the prayer, but not a single sound was heard. The pastor again stepped to the pulpit, went through all the motions of teaching and preaching, but the man with the angel still heard nothing. So he turned to the angel, and he said, "What does all this mean? I see that a service is being held, but I hear nothing." The angel replied, "You hear nothing because there's nothing to be heard. You see this service just as God sees it. These are not putting their hearts into it. And so God hears nothing. He hears only that which comes from the heart and not that which comes from the lips only." As the angel was speaking back in the last pew, they heard a little child saying, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The angel said, "You're hearing only the part of this service that God hears. He hears this little child's prayer because she means what she says and puts her heart and soul in it." Pastor Neil David Moster once said, "The Lord questions the very heart and motive of the people reflected in holy worship," end quote. Now, if He questions our heart, shouldn't we search them so we'd know better how to worship Him? Back in 1979, I'm dating myself, 1979, I will tell you there was a show on TV. I never watched it. I don't really remember it. But strangely, I was able to remember the show's host. I don't know what that says about me. I guess I'm a TV savant. But this show was popular. 1979, aired on NBC for 5 years. The show was called Real People. You might remember it. It's kind of the first foray into reality TV. And what real people did is real people showed unusual, strange, extraordinary people doing very strange and unusual and extraordinary things. And the audience lapped it up for 5 years. They loved this show. and they watched it. And the people really got to see what real people look like in all of their strange and odd doings. I ask this with regards to that. How do we real people offer real worship? You know, Scripture has a lot to say about worship. Psalm 29:2, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 132:7, we will go into his tabernacles and we will worship at his footstool. Psalm 95:6, oh come, let us worship and bow down and let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. What? I mean, we hear these passages and I'm not sure that we are fully clear on what all of that means. As a matter of fact, if someone comes in off the street who may not be familiar with worship and they say, Pastor, what did you just say? I mean, we always thought worshiping was just coming in and sitting down in a seat and just listening and watching. What are you talking about here? What do you mean that we've got to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness? What is this worshiping at his footstool? I don't understand this. What do you mean bow down and let us kneel? Have we bowed down and knelt yet? What does that mean? Is it safe to say that we might not really know how to worship? Several months ago, I was on vacation, and what we do when I go on vacation, especially if we don't go anywhere, we will go visit other churches in the community. This is just what we do. And on one particular occasion, it was back in December, we chose to do this. Cam was home, the girls were sick, and so she had to stay home, so I went out by myself, went to a church, well-known church in the community. It's a great church, and I know the pastor real well. Walked in, saw a few people that I knew. Never been to this church before, walked in and was completely shocked of what they did because it's completely different from our church. And nobody knew that I was the pastor of the Covell Community Church. I just kind of, I bled in with everybody else and I blended well, I think. And I sat there and I thought, what in the world am I supposed to do? And so here's what I did. So I walked in and I just watched. I watched everything going on. It was very different. And I watched what the people did next to me to make sure I wasn't doing anything totally out of the ordinary, totally strange, real people trying to offer real worship. And my point is that many times we lose focus on why we come into the church to worship. In essence, we start looking at other people and we start watching other people to see what they do instead of focusing on God and the fact that he has called us to be his kind of people, people that worship him. Let me give an example of this. A new missionary recruit went to Venezuela for the first time. He was struggling with the language and really didn't understand a whole lot that was going on. Intending to visit one of the local churches, he got lost and arrived late, so the church service was already packed. The only pew, of course, was left in the front row. So as not to make a fool of himself, he chose to imitate the man sitting next to him on the front pew during worship service. As they sang, the man clapped his hands, so the missionary recruit clapped too. When the man stood up to pray, the missionary recruit stood up too. When the man sat down, the recruit sat down too. During the preaching, the recruit didn't understand a thing that was being said. He just sat there, nodded his head, and tried to look just like the man in the front pew. Then the preacher said some words that he really didn't understand and saw the man next to him stand up. So the missionary recruit stood up too. And suddenly a hush fell over the entire congregation. A few people even gasped. He looked around and saw that nobody else was standing, so he embarrassingly sat down. After the service ended, the preacher stood at the door, shaking the hands of those congregants who were leaving. And when the missionary recruit stretched out his hand to greet the preacher said in English, "I take it you don't speak Spanish." The missionary recruit replied, "No, I don't. Is it that obvious?" Preacher said, "Yes, it is. You see, I announced that the Acosta family had a newborn baby boy, and would the proud father please stand up?" Woo! That's called keeping it real, right? Man, what does Jesus say about worship? We can have all kinds of ideas and opinions on what worship looks like and what it is, but we need to find out what Jesus says about worship. Let's look at our sermon text. It comes from John 4, 21 through 24. Today we're going to read from the NIV, but we're going to reference the Living Bible along the way. And here's what this passage says. Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and he says, "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. Now, this is an interesting passage because when you look at the Living Bible in this passage poses a question. And that question is this: is our worship spiritual and real? Is our worship spiritual and real? The Living Bible uses the word real, and Jesus makes it clear that real worship is spiritual and truthful. And a lot of people will say, what's that? I just thought I just had to come to church and sit and look around and maybe listen for a while. You mean spiritual and truthful? What is that? Verse 24, God is spirit. Man doesn't always do well with that, does he? Man has a hard time understanding spirit. What do we know about this? You see, man hears that God is spirit, but man says, I need to touch it. I need to feel it. I need to see it. I need to be able to discern it. Spirit, I don't get it. What are you talking about with regards to the Spirit? And a lot of churches don't talk about the Holy Spirit. It's taboo. It's not good. And so they do this. They say, you know what? We love God and we worship Jesus, but the Holy Spirit we don't talk about. In fact, it just makes us uncomfortable. Today, we have to understand that God wants us to worship in the Spirit. You see, we read in Scripture today that Thomas actually needed this discernible, touchy-feely thing. He said, I'm not going to believe in Jesus until I see him. And I want to see him, and I want to touch him. Jesus said, put your fingers into my hands, put your hand into my side. He tells Thomas this in John 20, 26 through 28. And Thomas believed in a resurrected Savior because he could touch him, because he could see him, because he could feel him. And at that point, Thomas says, my Lord and my God, because he knows who Jesus is. Man needs so often regarding worship to touch it, feel it, and see it, and hear it. He doesn't understand spirit. And so when we read this passage and we hear Jesus' words, we might not even understand it. We see worship in spirit. What do we do here? Jesus said in John 14, 17, he says, he is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who leads into all truth. We're going to talk about that very shortly. It says, the world at large cannot receive him, for it isn't looking for him. It doesn't recognize him. But you do, Jesus said to his disciples. For he lives with you now and someday shall be in you. Now, when he is in us, he helps us to worship Jesus. Let me ask you something. You ever come into the church and said, you know what, I want the Holy Spirit to help me worship today because I really don't know how to do it. So often, I'm not sure that we involve the Holy Spirit in what we do. In fact, I think in many cases with regards to worship, I think we just eliminate the Holy Spirit. And I think in many cases we say, you know what, it's an hour. I'll give you my hour, God, and I'll watch and I'll listen, but I'm not going to involve the Holy Spirit. That just makes me too uncomfortable. Are we involving the Holy Spirit? Folks, let me make sure we understand this. If you are saved, if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're building a relationship with him daily, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. This is a guarantee to all of us. And what that means is that when we believe in Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. He's part of us, which means that he helps us to worship him perfectly the way he wants. And that's a powerful thing to have. And a church that is driven and fed and led by the Spirit is a church that will make a large, large amount of noise, not only in the community, but in the world. And that's what God wants from his church today. In Exodus 32, we find Moses on Mount Sinai, and God's people were down below. And what were they doing? Well, if you know the story, it wasn't good. They thought their man was gone. Moses was somebody they could touch, discern, feel, and see. Moses was the man that was their leader. He was the man that they understood, and he had gone. He'd gone up to the mount, and they didn't see him. And they said, what is happening now? And so they go to his brother, Aaron. And they said, Aaron, we don't see your brother. We need your brother because I can't find your brother. Take all of our golden earrings, and I need you to make us a golden calf. We're going to worship this calf. We're going to love this calf. We're going to follow this calf. We're going to pay homage to this calf. Folks, the worship was tangible, but it was not spiritual. In fact, if we read on, we see in Exodus 32, 35, the Lord sent a great plague upon the people because they had worshiped Aaron's calf. They needed to touch it, they needed to feel it, and they needed to see it. You see, for many tangible, touchable, visible, discernible, is real. But God is spirit. And Jesus tells us that our worship must be in the spirit, which starts in the heart. Now, this is absolutely critical. Because in many cases, when we walk into a church, we start with our eyes, we start with our ears. That's what we do. One of the first things you do, if you ever walk in, if you remember the first time you walk into a church, I remember the first time I walked into this church, all I cared about was looking around to see what the people look like. Are they weird? Are they strange? Am I going to fit in here? I was just a young man. I was the weird one and the strange one. They were looking at me saying, what's this guy doing? But that's what we do. When I walked into that church back in December, when I walked in there, I was looking around using my eyes and my ears, watching what they did. How often do we involve our heart in worship? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1:22, God has put his brand upon us, his mark of ownership, and has given us his Holy Spirit in our hearts as guarantee that we belong to him and as the first installment of all that he's going to give us. So the question is today, on this, the Lord's Day, what do we give him? Do we worship him with our hearts in the Spirit? Jesus said in Mark 12, 29 and 30, he says, the Lord our God is the one and only God, and you must love him with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength. And if we break that down, we can understand the full gamut of worship and what he wants from it. So let's look at that. Strength. That involves the physical side of our worship. That means that allows you to walk into the church. Most of us don't walk like this. It would be very strange. We will look at you strangely if you do this. But they walk into the church. Physical means you'll sit down in your pew. Physical means you'll stand up in your pew. Physical means you'll go up and greet somebody. That's the physical part of worship, and we all do it. If you don't get out of your pew, if you lay down and don't do anything, we're going to think that maybe you're not even asleep, but something else really bad has happened. Physical is important. What you do physically is important. That's the strength. How about the soul? That's the emotional part of it. That's a deep part of it. That's what you do when you come into worship. That is allowing the Holy Spirit to move in you, to allow yourself to be emotionally charged and moved in the worship service. How about your mind? That's the mental part of it. That's where you get to read God's word and learn from God's word, discern God's word, understand God's word. It's part of worship. And how about the heart? That's the spiritual part of it. That's the deepest part of it, the relationship part of it, the part where you come into the church and say, God, I love you more than I can ever even understand or put into words, and I love your son, Jesus Christ, and I love the Holy Spirit, and now today I pour all of that out through my heart to you in worship. You see, real worship realizes that our hearts direct our worship in the Spirit. Sadly, man's worship is oftentimes based on tangible things. He says, I'll worship it if I can touch it, if I can see it, if I can hear it, if I can feel it. And let's face it, we all do it. Many people walk in and say, oh, they have hymnals. Yes! Because any church that doesn't use hymnals is not a church. They're bound for hell. I don't care about the hymnals. As long as the hymnals honor and glorify God and worship, as long as Stephen Curtis Chapman is a godly man of worship, I don't care what we sing. I just want to sing it to God. They have pews. These padded chairs are terrible. Not today's church. We need these old-time pews. I don't care what we sit in. I don't care if we lay down or stand. It doesn't matter. But we like our tangible, physical, touchy-feely things. The building. Oh, how many times do I hear? You have the most amazing building. You know what? I have the most amazing God that made this building. That's what we have. I don't care about this building. I don't. I don't care about it. I care about the God who lives inside of this building. That's who we're here to worship, not the building. We like our pastor. We like our teacher. We like our leaders, folks. It's not about any of us. It's about Jesus. That's why you worship. Take the tangible things and cast them to the side today and rely upon the spiritual one that moves you to a place of worship where when you come in here, you say, I don't care what they sing. I don't care what they wear. I don't care where they sit. I just care that they worship God Almighty and they honor him in all they say and do. A visiting minister was substituting for the famed pastor Henry Ward Beecher. A large audience had assembled to hear the popular pastor. At the appointed hour, the visiting minister entered the pulpit. Learning that Henry Ward Beecher was not to preach that day, several began to move toward the doors. The visiting minister stood up and called out, "All who have come here today to worship Henry Ward Beecher can withdraw from this church. All who have come to worship God, keep your seats." Ooh. Walter B. Knight shares another example. It says, many years ago, a tourist attended a service in a Scottish church. She greatly enjoyed the sermon, was spiritually blessed. Later, she asked who the minister was, and she found out he was Ebenezer Erskine. The lady said, "I'll surely hear him again next Lord's Day. He is wonderful." She did this, but she got little out of the sermon the next time she heard Erskine speak. She related her experience to Erskine, who said this, "Oh, madam, last Sunday you came here to worship the Lord Jesus and to hear his voice. Today you came here to hear me and exalt me in your heart. That's why you're going away spiritually empty." Real worship is spiritual, heartfelt, spirit-led, spirit-fed worship. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 12, verse 1, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Have we given God our hearts? You see, if you're going to make a sacrifice, you're going to give him your body, and part of that body is your heart. And when you give him your heart, you give him all of your body. You give him everything. And when you walk into this church, you say, "God, for this hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever you choose to do here, I'm yours. And this, all this is yours." I'll give you a good example. 2-3 years ago, we went on vacation. We remember all of our vacations based on the baseball stadiums that we go to. My daughters really don't like it that much. So, and what we do is this year we did our Ohio vacation. I'd heard that the Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati was a great ballpark. I am not a Reds fan. I don't care about the Reds. I have no connection to the Reds. They were playing a team that I don't care about. I had no connection to them. So we go and we walk into the stadium, and I didn't find the stadium to be that attractive. I actually thought it was a dump. Sorry for anybody who's from Cincinnati. And so when we get to the stadium, and I realize the only reason I'm there is to see the stadium and eat the food. And so the Reds are playing. I don't remember who they were playing. Maybe the Astros. I don't know. We didn't care. And when the Reds score, everybody, woo! And we'd just be sitting there like. And then when the Reds didn't score and somebody else scored, and then everybody'd be booing, and we'd just sit there and look at each other like, we don't care. Why? Because our hearts weren't into it. You see, all we cared about was the building. And all we cared about was the food. And all we cared about was experiencing the whole Great American Ballpark situation. Now, fast forward at the same time, last year went on our Pennsylvania vacation. That took us to PNC Park in Pittsburgh. Great park, by the way. Why did I love that park so much? Because on that particular day, the Pittsburgh Pirates were playing my beloved Chicago Cubs. We were fully invested. No Cardinal jokes here, all right? No Cardinal jokes. But every time the Cubs scored, and yes, they scored, I know what you're thinking. Every time they scored, we were the ones standing up. Woo! Yeah! Because everybody was looking at us like, get out of here, get out. But the point is, we were invested. Our hearts were into it. We're fans. We love them. I didn't care about PNC Park, to be honest. I cared about supporting and watching my team because I love my team. Do you love your team? Do you love God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Because if you love your team, you're going to be invested in your heart. And so when you come into the building, wherever the building is, if you come in and you sit in the pews, whatever the pews are, if you come in and look at the hymn, whatever the hymnal is, it doesn't really matter. What matters is your team. And if you know how to worship your team and you know how to invest your heart in your team, you're going to please the team. Now let's face it. We have work to do in this line of work. Listen to what Paul says in Colossians 3:23. He says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord." Make no mistake about it. You heard it right. H-E-A-R-T. Heartily as to the Lord. The Lord says in Hosea 6:6, he says, "I don't want your sacrifices." That meant the bird sacrifice. That meant the altar sacrifices. He says, "I don't want your sacrifices." God says, "I want your love." He says, "I don't want your burnt offerings. I want you to know me." And when we know him, we worship him. God wants our spiritual worship. The teacher of the third grade Sunday school class was planning to take her children on a field trip to the ongoing church service so they could get an idea of what morning worship looked like in this large church. Before they left their classroom, the teacher thought it would be a good idea to caution these children against being boisterous in their new surroundings. Attempting to engage their attention, the teacher knelt down and asked, "And why do we need to be quiet in the church?" One little scholar replied right away, "Because they're sleeping in there." We call that out, just to let you know. All right. Regarding our real worship, the Spirit awakens us, but the truth instructs us. It's got to be spiritual, and it's got to be truthful. Jesus said in our sermon text, we worship what we do know. You see, if someone walks into the Covell Community Church or any other church, they do not know Jesus, they don't have a relationship with Jesus, they don't even love Jesus, I don't expect them to worship in spirit and truth, because they're not going to have it. My goal is that they will get it. But I don't anticipate that they'll have it. But folks, if you are a born-again, saved, believing, loving, fully in love with Jesus Christ Christian, you know it. You see, you believe it, you live it, you love it. And when you know what God's Word says about worship. That's the truth. Truthful worship is spiritual, scriptural worship. That's what it is. We worship what we do know. Because we know Christ and we love Christ, which allows the Holy Spirit at home in our heart, we know His Word and we love His Word, which encourages us and informs us about worship. We live and learn and love and worship through His Word. The Word guides our worship. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:16, he says, we Christians actually have within us a portion of the very thoughts and minds of Christ. You see, the truth in His Word spawns truth in our worship. Now, what happens when we don't use the truth to worship? Folks, worldwide cults have started because people never use the truth in worship. They've created their own religions and their own worship based on the fact that they never used the Word to guide their worship. And today, this is what you see. You see religions, you see churches, you see individuals, you see organizations that are out there worshiping something they do not. Does that scare you? Let me give you an example. Numbers 25, 1 through 3. All the way back in the Old Testament, we see this. While Israel was camped at Acacia, some of the young men began going to wild parties with the local Moabite girls. These girls also invited them to attend the sacrifices to their gods, lowercase g. And soon the men were not only attending the feast, but also bowing down and worshiping the idols. Before long, all of Israel was joining freely in the worship of Baal, the god of Moab, and the anger of the Lord was hot against His people. You see, the Israelites knew the truth. They just didn't follow it. Their current worship, certainly not of God's Spirit, meant the end of them. Jesus spoke about this in Matthew 15, 8 and 9. He says, these people say they honor me, but their hearts are far away. Their worship is worthless, for they teach their man-made laws instead of those from God. You ask me how we worship, I'll tell you how we worship. We worship in the truth. That's how we worship. That's how we roll, and we keep it real. I'm going to keep talking in street slang, because that's what we do at Covell. Keeping it real. That's how we roll. Isaiah 29, 13 and 14 says this. The Lord says, since these people say they are mine, but they do not obey me, since their worship amounts to mere words learned by rote, therefore I will take awesome vengeance on these hypocrites and make their wisest counselors as fools. Where are our hearts and minds regarding our worship? Do we love Him, which incorporates the Spirit? And do we long to know Him, which involves the truth? And one needs the other. William Temple once said this. He says, to worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God, to devote the will to the purpose of God, end quote. That purpose is to love and worship in spirit and in truth God. Let me ask you this. How do you think God sees our worship? What if Jesus were standing before you today? Are you one that would say, I got to touch Him and feel Him and see Him, discern Him, I got to smell Him, I got to hear Him? How would He look at our worship? Would he say our worship is worthless? Or would he say this? Your worship at the Covell Community Church is so strong and so powerful and so spiritual and so truthful. And I understand how much you love me. And I understand today, based on your worship, how much you care about me. At the Sunday dinner table, a lady asked her husband, "Did you notice the mink coat on the lady sitting in front of us in church today?" Husband admitted, "Nah, I was dozing." "Ha!" retorted the wife. "A lot of good the sermon did you." There's more. I know, it takes a while. There is more to worship than sitting in the church. It's true. Not something we necessarily want to hear, but something we have to hear. There is more to worship than sitting in the church. Hebrews 10:25, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Our worship doesn't end here. Rather, it's taken out there. Led by God's Spirit, fed by God's truth. Whether we are in here or whether we are out there, we are called to sing and shout and pray and read and love and lead others to Jesus Christ as we continue to worship in the Spirit and in the truth as taught to us in John 4:21-24 by Jesus Christ, who is the very center of our worship, who lives and guides and directs our lives. That is who we worship today. Is it spiritual? Is it truthful? Is it real? Let's find out. Let's stand and sing. Watch the screen, everyone. Sounds like, folks, that's real worship. That is spiritual, truthful worship. I'm going to tell you a quick story. We were at the Pirates and Cubs game. There's a guy that plays for the Cubs. His name's Mike Olt. He's on the 60-day DL. He's not good, but I love him. He's on my Facebook. He's my Facebook guy. And everybody says, "Why do you like Mike Olt?" I don't even know why I like Mike Olt, but I love him. And so Mike Olt on this day at Pittsburgh was starting, and every time Mike Olt would come up, I'd stand up. I'd be the only one like, "Woo! Mike Olt!" And nobody got it. And I realized that I'm like, I love Mike Olt. Even my kids are like, "Dad, sit down. You're embarrassing us." When I was a little boy, my mom, we'd go to church, and my mom has the absolute most horrific, awful, terrible singing voice you've ever heard in your life. I mean, it's scary. And my brother and I, we were like, this is when we were young and we didn't know better. But it didn't matter. My mom, it did not stop her. It did not dissuade her. She would sing. When we sang "How Great Thou Art," my mom's eyes were closed. That hymnal was flying all over the place. And she was, "How great thou art." And I look at this and I think, you know what, guys? It doesn't matter how we sound. It just matters that we sound. And this is what I'm talking about today, folks. It is spiritual, truthful worship that goes off of God's word, that feeds off of God. And so today, help us each and every day when we come into this sanctuary to give our best to God and make it spiritual and truthful worship. Let's go before the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and we thank you for all that you give us. We are truly, truly grateful. And today we shout to you, not only in this area, not only in this place, but everywhere that we go. Help us to be full of the Holy Spirit. I pray that we will know him and that we'll know your word, which moves us to a place of spiritual and truthful worship in all that we say and do. Help us to follow through in all these things, I pray, as we go out into our communities and make a difference. Help us to live out our faith and show our faith in Jesus Christ today. Go with us and keep us safe and bless and help all of our veterans in active service. Be with the families that have lost loved ones through the service that they provided our country. And may this Memorial Day be one of recognition for their sacrifice. And may we remember Jesus' sacrifice. And all that we do, it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.